This podcast homily is a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church and is prepared for Epiphany season. Welcome to this fourth podcast homily for Epiphany season, which began on January 6th. For the third Sunday after Epiphany, the focus is on the wedding at Cana, based on John 2, verses 6 through 10. This same topic is the subject of episode 36 in the AIC Bible Study Series on YouTube, which is accessible via a link on the Bible Study page at our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net, the full address for which, if you want to go directly to it, is http://www.anglicaninternetchurch.net/bible-study.html. The epistle reading for the third Sunday after Epiphany is St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 16 to 21, which is a continuation of the homily on virtues that was the reading for the second Sunday after Epiphany. Since on that occasion I added verses to the reading, this week the only new material is St. Paul's wise counsel to offer food and drink to the hungry and thirsty, and to overcome evil with good. The gospel reading is the unique account in St. John's Gospel of the wedding at Cana, the first of seven signs, generally called miracles or wonders in other translations, which indicate the divinity of Jesus Christ, and were one of the occasions in which he manifested himself to the Gentile world. The time is the third day after the calling of the apostles Philip and Nathanael, the latter of whom was born at Cana of Galilee, according to St. John. Scholars believe that the Cana of Galilee described by St. John is the same area now called Kfar Cana, located about 15 miles southwest of the remains of Capernaum and due west of the Sea of Galilee. Galilee was a predominantly Gentile region, especially the area around Cana. Most commentary on the wedding at Cana is focused on Jesus' turning of water into wine, but there are other symbols involved that are often ignored. First is the use the church has made of this reading of Jesus' presence at the wedding at Cana as referred to in the opening greeting for the marriage or holy matrimony in the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. While the Jews at the time of Christ regarded matrimony as symbolic of the union of God and his people Israel, for Christians, based on Jesus' presence at this event, the union is between Christ and his church, which is the bride. St. Paul, traditionally considered the author of Hebrews, wrote in Hebrews 13:4 that marriage is an honorable state. The account is brief and includes what to modern ears may sound a little brusque. When St. Mary points out to Jesus that they have no wine, he replies to her in John 2, verse 4, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Some language scholars explain that if we look for a literal translation of the words spoken in the original Greek, that the answer would be translated as, "What to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." Jesus' reply simply means to remind Mary, his earthly mother, that his hour, by which St. John refers to his acknowledgement that the time for his death upon the cross had not yet come. John will later in his gospel, quoting Jesus on Maundy Thursday, report that Jesus says, "The hour has come and now is." Nevertheless, Jesus, the dutiful son, honored his earthly mother's request. In the Eastern Church and among Roman Catholics, Mary's intervention here to help a friend in need is understood to be an early sign of Mary's significance as an intercessor. That Mary and Jesus were there together illustrates how important family was. I made reference to this in the AIC video series, Reflections on the 12 Days of Christmas, in the video for the 7th day of Christmas on the theme word family. It is likely that Jesus was present at Cana because his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, was an invited guest and was a relative of the groom, traditionally understood to have been the 11th apostle Simon, also called Simon the Zealot in St. Matthew's Gospel. Many Eastern Church scholars suggest that certain details of the story of the wedding at Cana may have been based upon two Jewish practices. First, the diluting of wine at weddings at a ratio of 3 parts water to 1 part wine, intended probably to reduce the incidence of drunkenness, and the use of stone jars, which was meant to reduce the risk of impurities in the water. While St. John's account says that there were 6 jars, most artistic representations show a smaller number owing to limits of space. Mary tells the servants to do what Jesus tells them to do, and indeed they pour water into the jugs, but when they distribute the contents, the water has become wine. The master of the feast in verse 9 accuses the servants of holding back the best wine until last. Unlike accounts in other Gospels, this account in the Gospel of St. John does not include any specific spoken command by Jesus. The turning of water into wine is presented as an act of his divine will, being the first of 7 examples of events that cannot be explained in purely human, rational terms. At the end of the account, St. John offers this summary, which includes the term the church chose for a title for the season, manifested, which is derived from a Greek word translated as epiphany. Here in John is John 2, verse 11. "This beginning of miracles Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." For the 4th Sunday after Epiphany, the prayer book reading shifts away from St. John's narrative and uses St. Matthew as the source for an account of 2 additional miracles, the healing of a leper and of the centurion's son. My closing prayer for this podcast is the Book of Common Prayer Collect for 3rd Sunday after Epiphany, which is itself full of back references to words used in the Great O Antiphon's offices that you'll find on the digital library page of our website, looking at the offices for the 7 final days of Advent. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities, and in all our dangers and necessities stretch forth thy right hand to help and defend us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church, and we invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.